With the inquiry time, as previously, anyone who hasn't been for a previous inquiry is very welcome to come up. Areas of interest with regard to your experiences, your meditations, reflections that you've listened to from the teachers, small groups, one-to-ones, etc. All of that is an open area for some exploration there. The intention with the inquiry, of course, is to investigate, to look, not with the expectation of some immediate resolution. And sometimes, as I mentioned the other night, that may or may not come in its own time. Sometimes it is the sowing of the seeds there, and it's the fruits are not in our hands that may come. With the inquiry as well, it's to help shed some light on whatever is on the theme of exploration. With myself sometimes responding and answering the question seems appropriate, or redirecting the questions back, or it goes backwards and forwards. Anytime the person or myself can say thank you to bring it to a close, and then there's a couple of shared minutes of silence together, there's reflection, being present to the present, and another invitation so that we move backwards and forward from the inquiry into the silence and silence back into the inquiry, and then at the very end I give the general reflection on what I listen to. With inquiry time, remembering as well the importance of the listening, that's a total event. Therefore, it includes the outer listening, but equally listening inwardly. So as you listen, as I listen, picking up and noticing any kind of responses. And just being clear, this is what the response is. Positive or negative, favorable or unfavorable, but just being clear about what comes from within there. As you see, we are recording the inquiries, and if the wish is not to be recorded, let us know, and then we'll just switch off or delete afterwards or whatever. So anyone has anything you'd like to touch upon? And as I mentioned previously, no more than every other attending to family matters. Right, anyone who would like to come, you're extremely welcome. Are you okay with the recording?
Yeah, all right,
sweet.
So it's something I'm contemplating about.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And is how do
can
I
you hear at the back?
How do I recognize?
Yeah. If sometimes, because our voices tend to drop there, do feel free if you're near the back, if you wish, to sit closer anywhere. So it's a little easier for at this side. Okay, yes.
How do I recognize the truth? What in relationships? What do I mean? I often find myself with friends, for example.
Yes.
So we have argument, like
yes.
I think something is wrong,
mm-hmm.
and then I'm speaking about it.
Yes.
And the other side says, it's in your head.
Mm.
So. And I'm like, okay. And I'm thinking about it, and I'm not sure. Maybe it's in my head, maybe it's not. And after a while investigating, I still don't come up with an answer. So I don't know what the way and how can I deal with it. Why are we?
Yeah. The exchange, I'll ask that. Between two people or a small group of people, there is what's being expressed in the language. It's a small part of any exchange. So let me ask a little bit here. You are talking to somebody. What would bring it to a point of differences of view and then someone making the statement, it's in your head. What is the dynamic that brings one to differences and possibly an argument, as you mentioned, or conflict? What happened for it to come to that point for you?
I don't understand.
Right. For two people or more to have an argument,
mm-hmm.
and differences of opinion, something has to happen in the psychological personality environment for it to take place. It doesn't take place out of nothing. It takes place because something is going on which is not being attended to. Therefore, in your experience, and if you can remember the last time or recently, what was going on that in the exchange of language, of views, something built and it ended up as an argument, a conflict, and then the one-line statement. Or rhetoric, really. You're in your head. What happened to build to that position and that view for you?
I guess it's like, it's funny because what came up to my mind, it's like in friendship, for example.
In what?
In friendship.
In friendship.
Yeah. So mm-hmm. There is like, it's a role, so
yes.
There are certain things you have to do.
Yeah, what would
like,
be...
But basic stuff, not sensitivity, honesty, not
no.
Something...
No. Give the... Tell me, what... I'm curious, of course, and others that will be. What did you say...
Mm-hmm.
Which the person said, you're in your head. What were you talking about that was their opinion and their conclusion?
To give an example?
But it could be...
Are you applying to something?
No, asking of the specific. That particular, it's not an example, it was a fact. He or she said, you're in your head. What did you say that they should think that? Mm-hmm. If you can remember.
Okay. No, I have like a recent, the recent one was I was doing a workshop.
Yeah.
And I invited one of my very, very good friends.
You were giving it or participating?
No, I was giving it.
You were giving the workshop.
I invited a really, really good friend of mine.
Yes.
And like at the end of the workshop, so we were sharing.
Yes.
And
what was the workshop about? What was the thing?
About how to succeed in fulfilling yourself. How to overcome the fears and the...
To fulfill yourself.
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And applying to a job, especially a career.
Yes. Mm.
And so at the end, after the sharing, everyone went away.
Yes.
And he said, okay, bye-bye, I'm going, like, with them.
Yes.
And he's one of my really, really good friends.
Yes.
So I was like, what? And then he phoned and asked him, why did you leave so?
Yes.
Why didn't you stay with me?
Yes.
He said, no, I didn't want them to think that you are my friend or something, but they know you are my friend, okay?
Yes.
And then I was like debating, and he said, I don't understand, it's in your head. So
he said.
Yeah, and then I was like, okay, no, but it's one incident, I have many incidents.
Mm.
It's only one, it's not one.
Right.
So that's the confusion.
Yes.
I never know if I'm right or the other one is right. And
did it, for either of you, the incident afterwards change the friendship? Have you seen the guy, was it?
Yeah.
Have you seen him since, is the matter kind of forgotten and that good friendship is there?
No, that's an example of something I want to speak to him about. And he just like, this is what happened like 1 month ago, and now we're only texting.
Mm.
But before, sometimes we go and carry the friendship.
Yes.
But I have to say that sometimes I'm confused about the trust I have towards.
Yes.
My friends.
Yes.
Even after a real talking about.
Yeah. In the small incident, in very simple terms, when he was leaving with the others, did you feel abandoned? And this upset you?
Yeah.
Mm.
And
then,
I don't know.
Eh?
Yeah, I think I felt, yeah.
Yes.
Because it was obvious to me that if I were him, I would never leave him because I would stay with him.
So but you're not him, you're you, he's he.
Yeah.
Two different fish.
Yeah.
So then his explanation was, if I stay with you, others will know that you're my friend.
Yeah.
Why would he be concerned about that? What do you imagine?
It's more like they would think you like me more, or that I was. Like,
yes. All right. Yeah.
Treating him better.
Yeah. To be.
But it's the end of the workshop, and it's okay. Don't.
To be. Because is he in the room? No.
Yeah. No.
He's not here.
No.
Sometimes it happens.
But
sometimes
I'm here. But he knows I'm here.
Yeah. That's right. Yeah. Mm. Mm. You can give him the recording.
Maybe I will.
Mm. To be fair to him, the role of leader, workshop leader in this case, to be fair to him, genuinely is a strong, in Jungian language, archetype. It carries authority. You working with people and endeavoring as a way to bring the best out of them, the fulfillment out of them, so that they have more sense of trust, fulfillment and confidence when applying for a job. It's an important role. And I can understand from his viewpoint here that even though there is friendship, he's a bit concerned about the minds of others.
Yes.
And they may think or interpret in such a way, whatever. And even a little bit more so if it's, in some cases, man and woman. A little bit, it can be. There. So, after the exchange, after you told him about this, he still went.
Went where?
With them.
No, I told him, I told it to him after he went.
Yeah, after, all right, and then you told, okay, alright, there. But to be fair to him, the power of the role, the archetype, and the authority that goes with it, and I know this for myself, does, for some people, bring some discomfort that the person might be getting extra attention or be favoritism or specialness or something else. And some people just, the friends can be genuinely uncomfortable about it. Because of the role you had on that particular particular day, you'll need to recognize. But still, coming back to the original point and place there, what's the ingredients to form an argument? What is it that goes on with you and with us that it leads from a communication and ends up as an argument, and sometimes so intense there is no more speaking to each other? What's that movement? What's going on in the dynamic?
I think you touched upon the, it's like, I can feel sometimes, like, being abandoned. Like,
right.
Confusion, yeah.
Okay.
When I'm trying to think of other encounters, it's like, I think it's the same, yeah.
Yeah, alright. Because there is always some kind of process which is going on.
Mm-hmm.
So, in some feeling of being abandoned, that means that it feels like something is missing.
Yeah.
I feel abandoned. Something is missing. He, in this case, is pulling away from me.
Yeah.
He is going with the others. There.
Yeah.
And the uncomfortableness with this particular feeling brings about the reaction. The reaction is to get rid of that feeling by pulling him to you, so then he displaces the feeling. You're not abandoned. You want him to stop you feeling abandoned. You want him to stop you feeling abandoned.
I first want to know if that was the truth.
That's the truth. Yeah, yeah, I'm
no,
telling you it's the
that
truth.
He abandoned me? Now you're telling me that he abandoned me.
You're telling me. You're telling me. I know. He left. That's all. He physically turned his back and walked with others. It's not a statement of abandonment. It's a statement of somebody getting up and walking.
Mm-hmm. But that's the confusion. That is the confusion.
For you.
Yeah, but I think for others as well. I mean, it's
it could be.
I can be right as well, no? No, I mean, that's...
No, I can quote my grandson. Are you challenging his human rights?
Yeah.
You know, we cannot always live. Mm-hmm. It's not possible. That even the best of friends, the closest family member, will stay present for us because we want them to. It is not possible in this world. So sometimes she, he, or they, I'm just saying this as the fact, not metaphorically, the person turns away and they go to do something else. The wish inside is that they stay. It would be nice if they stayed. We could share, we could talk, we could have a latte. There. The wish, the preference is healthy, normal, human, and unproblematic. When it's abandonment, and it's difficult to be with it, that will bring about a movement of the wanting and the potential for the argument. That's the difference. People have the right to stay as long or as short as he or she wishes. Whatever the reasons might be. What will allow for you to be more at ease when the person you wish to stay goes? You would like them to stay, but they don't wish to. They have their explanation. It won't help putting pressure.
He has the best intentions for me.
He may not have a clue what the best intentions are for you or for himself. Sometimes, you know, we don't know. Mm-hmm. And the intentions, as we know with ourselves, can change moment by moment. But what we do know, that when we are putting pressure and being a bit possessive, the person may start to struggle and argue.
So what is friendship? What is it all about?
Friendship is giving the person the freedom to stay and go.
So it's everyone.
Exactly, yeah, anyone. Including this guy who wanders off into the sunset with the rest. That's friendship. Giving people the freedom to stay or to go. That's what love is about.
So I think it's like, I have to be 100% all right with myself. I have to be complete about myself, like I have to be whole. I don't know, it's like
it's a lovely way to... It's a romantic ideal to be 100% okay with oneself. I certainly hope I never reach that point. Well, we'd stop working on ourselves. It might be to be okay as much as possible, not with yourself, but with the guy going. That seems
hard
to me. Eh?
It's really hard.
Yeah. But that's where the practice would be. We go to the place where it's woo. And if he feels you love him if he stays, and you love him if he goes, and somehow that's somehow communicated, you love the time together, and if he needs to go, he goes. He will be much more at home and I would say willing and happy to be in your good company. Because he won't feel the pressure.
I have a question.
Please.
But for example, you have like an appointment with a friend.
Okay? Yeah.
And
yep.
I show up in time.
Yeah.
And he or she doesn't. It's also yeah. Right. You can come and go. What?
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
exactly the. It's a.
Yeah. And then that happens to all of us regularly. So if the person turns up late or whatever it is, I just make it my standing meditation time. They come half hour late, it's a half hour standing meditation. No problem. Come an hour late, oh, why did you come so soon? I was having such a good meditation.
I don't have to open the door.
Yeah, that presence and absence again.
No,
and you might request, you might say, you know, I'm sorry you're 6 hours late, but you know, my knees are hurting. But if it becomes pressure, so some people. You know, to give a very small example, I have a beloved friend. She's an 83-year-old therapist, psychotherapist. She's retired, little one. And she's the founder of the Gestalt Center in London from Lifetime. And so I go to her house. Say, we have a cup of tea and some English cake. It's classic English thing to do. And so the time's at 4:30, and she's like 5 minutes walk from my house. So sometimes I get there 4:40, 4:55, maybe 4:50, you know, whatever, not too late. And I ring the bell, so she's upstairs in this rather nice apartment. And she said, Christopher, I said, yeah. She said, you're late. And my response is, I'm not your client. I'm your friend. Friends have the privilege to turn up 10 or 15, 20 minutes late. And if more than 20 minutes late, I'll give her a call. Look, I'm going to be a bit late. So you may be more, you know, the more Swiss kind of person.
I look Swiss also.
Eh?
I look Swiss also.
You look Swiss as well, yes, yes. And, but there's lots of Indian people around. So, it's fluidity and adjustment there, and to point out to to be, but if it's from the place of wish, it's a softer place, firmly, but a softer place of pressure. You say, "Aha! This is something to do with not having, therefore, to do with abandonment, to do with the feeling of being let down, to do with some interpretation of the view." And take a little. Care with that. We keep our friends because we are fluid. We understand them. And I think it's, in this case, what the good man said, as I listened to it, I think it's one of those understandable reasons. It might be quite genuine. Yeah, what he said. Yeah. I do think it's it can be a genuine response.
Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you.
So we'll have a couple of quiet minutes together and then another invitation. Yes, anyone, anytime. Okay with the recording?
Yeah.
Yeah? Sure, okay.
I'm very good in making stories.
You're very good in making stories.
Yeah, I make very wonderful stories. And I was wondering, what is the purpose of the mind making so many stories?
What kind of stories are you making?
All kinds, like what I'm gonna do. I have, you know, like big visions and very nice plans that never comes out. So I was thinking about this now. Today I was planning a match today, and I was wondering what is the why I make so many stories, so many plans, very, very wonderful plans, and, you know, buildings and...
The creation and the making of the story, amongst the countless number of reasons, just listening for a moment, one is, in the making of the visions or the plans, so it's some kind of positive, hopeful feeling about the future, in some way, is it? That would be a common story would be made out of that. That's the question I'm asking.
Yeah, but I feel that you know, instead of doing stuff, I just plan it.
Yeah. Well, because when all the interest or so much of it is going into the idea of the planning, that will slowly drain the interest. Because it's planning, it's the imagination, it's the fantasy, it's the unexpressed, externally. There, with so many stories and so much planning, what are you missing out on? What is it replacing?
I think it is replacing the action, I think.
Replacing the action. Mm-hmm. The action, of course, plan and action is a movement. True. Is it replacing anything else? Leaving aside the action for a moment, it's important, but anything else, even without the action?
Maybe it's like a response to... you know, to a feeling of failure.
A feeling of failure.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. So something isn't, so to speak, happening in the present. Could be. There's some feeling of failure. So when it's difficult to deal with, the future becomes the vast open space, and we can put all our visions and projects and ideas and plans all into it. So feeling of failure is definitely an unpleasant kind of feeling. Acknowledging and recognizing that, you know, okay, okay, time, I'm not feeling good about myself, this will be the tendency. There is a certain kind of feeling which gives rise to a certain tendency. Others' tendency might be different. Putting aside just for the moment that feeling and authentic feeling and the tendency, what else do stories hide? So, not concerned with the action for the moment, which is important, not concerned with the feeling, which is important. What else when we're living in stories? What do we mean? Is there anything that we're really missing out on, not seeing?
I'm not sure that I understand what you're asking, but the way it happens that is that, you know, I sometimes think maybe I don't see the reality.
Mm.
Maybe I'm just, you know, flying.
Yeah.
In the air.
Yeah. Yeah.
And, you know, I don't have.
Yeah. All right. You might be right. You might be right. You might be a space case. So the ground is missing.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's a few around. They always on retreat.
Problem is that it is not on your
face. No, that's it, exactly. All right. So, what will it take inside to have major mind surgery? To cut out dramatically the frequency of the stories. To cut that out of the inner life. What would it take?
But why to cut it? I'm serious.
Yeah, because you're missing the best that life has to offer.
Which is?
That's the reason for sitting up here. Hang in. But before we get there, what would it take to say, yesterday, the mantra of the talk last night was, enough is enough.
Yeah.
No more acceptance, it has to go. You're living in cuckoo land. Stories and imaginations and fantasies, but no power for the action. That will keep reinforcing the feeling of failure. If that goes, your feeling of failure will go extremely quickly. Those fantasies and thoughts and daydreams and visions and imaginations is the petrol on the fire of that feeling. You are keeping it alive.
But I think that if you have
if I
have this ability of creating things, even in my mind, you know, I should use it for some.
All right, so we'll come back to the action then. That's the wish. Tell me something that you have given some thought to and you can apply today.
I didn't understand.
Right. Okay. Sometimes we have the imagination, don't we, have the plans, but it's always convenient in the future.
Yeah.
And the future is nothingness. It's the escape. So, what would be a useful thought or plan that you could apply today? Not tomorrow even. Today. This evening. No, we'll wait. We'll be patient. Something will
come out.
Something will come out. So at the moment, I don't know. Something will come through. I don't know.
There's no so many possibilities here.
No, there's only infinite number. Infinite number of possibilities. Between now and midnight. No. You're meditating on it now. Hang in, something will come. Down there in the deep, something will come through. What could I speak about now in the hall which will bring an action this evening?
You know, I can do the what we do here, like to go and have coffee or something like this.
I'll make it more clear.
But this is not a plan, you know.
No, I'll make it more clear. To do something this evening, between now and midnight, which you have not done before since you arrived.
No, I really don't have anything.
You do? I don't believe you. Keep going. Come on.
No,
there's
too much pressure you're putting on me.
I know I am. Quite aware. But the pressure will get movement. That's the pressure. I'm not looking for anything spectacular. Just something which is fresh, new, which hasn't been done the previous evening, which you will make happen for you tonight. Nothing special, but something fresh and new and different which you plan to do before midnight.
I can tell you a good night story.
You love your stories, don't you? It's action. It's a form of action.
I mean, all of you.
Eh?
To you, all of you.
All right. Okay. There's an applause there. We haven't even started the story. All right. How long is the story? Three minutes.
Now?
Now.
Okay. I have to think about it for a minute. In English or Hebrew?
Hebrew.
Okay.
Can you translate for me? Yeah.
Okay, it's a frightening story.
Scary story.
Yeah. Okay.
Scary one.
Go on.
פעם אחת, לפני הרבה שנים, הייתה ילדה קטנה,
there was a little girl,
שגרה בקצה היד,
she used to live at the edge of the forest,
סבתא שלה,
the grandma,
עם אמא שלה,
the mother, sorry,
יום אחד,
one day,
הסבתא שגרה בקצה השני של היד,
the grandmother, who used to live on the other edge of the forest, got killed.
אמרה אימא לילדה.
Mother told the daughter.
ילדתי החמודה.
My sweet girl.
ילדתי המתוקה.
Again, my sweet girl.
אני עכשיו אכין לך סל מלא בכל טוב.
I'm going to prepare you a basket loaded with goodies. And you take it to grandma.
הכינה לילדה.
And she prepared the basket.
מרק. חשידה.
And soup and quiche and salad. The birds were singing. The flowers were blooming. She looked around and appreciated the beauty of the flowers and told us
to pick some and bring grandmother
would smell the flowers, she'd get better sooner.
הלכה הילדה וכתפה פרחים.
So the little girl picked some flowers.
שסטתה מהדרך, נכנסה לתוך היער.
And took her...
וכמובן
ש...
ברגע הכי שמח ומאושר של החיים,
the most joyous moment,
מגיע הזאב.
The wolf arrived.
לאן את הולכת כיפה אדומה?
Where are you going, little red riding?
אני הולכת לסבתא להביא לה את האוכל שאימא שלי נתנה. אוקיי, להתראות.
אוקיי, ביי ביי.
ונפרדו דרכם. אז זאב רץ מהר לבית של סבתא. וכיפה אדומה, כמו שאתם יודעים, אחת
שלנו,
הגיע יותר מאוחר לבית של
סבתא.
דפקה על הדלת,
טוק.
מי שם?
מי שם?
על הזאב.
Ask the wolf.
זאת אני, כיפה אדומה, הבאתי לך אוכל.
Enter, said the wolf.
And so
she did. And she saw.
So
her grandmother looks very unusual.
למה יש לך עיניים כאלה גדולות?
Why are your eyes so big?
עוד אתך יותר טוב.
To see you better.
replied. למה יש לך עיניים כאלה גדולות?
Why is it so big, grandmother?
כדי לשמוע אותך יותר טוב.
See you better, she replied.
דווקא, למה יש לך שיניים כל כך גדולות? כדי לטרוף אותך.
So the wolf devoured her. He was very happy and went to sleep. The end of the story. A hunter happened to walk by. And heard the snoring wolf. Granny doesn't snore that way. And so he entered the house. And immediately shot it.
Opened his belly and
jumped out of the wolf's belly and healthy and happy.
Okay. I had the feeling the story was about you.
No, it's the story I tell my children.
Yeah. I know the story. It's lovely. It's a lovely story. So, the emergence of Little Red Riding Hood out of the wolf is a little bit what we've been exploring. The wolf has to go to let release Little Red Riding Hood. So, I'm the huntsman.
Okay.
Okay, thank you.
Dad, you didn't answer my question.
We'll have a couple of quiet minutes and I'll just give it a little reflection. Rather heavenly with the man across the way. Words of the evening passing over. Lovely. Reminder, I'm in the Middle East. Lovely. And with the, there's a general thread theme principle here. It's a deep and a profound interest in life in freeing of it up. That means it's not about me and my freedom. Not a personal thing whatsoever. It's giving life the opportunity to move freely, to free it up. And that can take place through our insights, our wisdom, our love, our clarity, our capacity to let go, capacity to let life, the life of others, also move freely as well. So it's nothing personal in that. It goes in all directions. So as the good lady said to us, sometimes in our contact and communication with others, that capacity to listen, to hear the voice, and to give, in some situations, as the specific, the opportunity for someone to freely stay and to freely, freely go. And that expression of that, I would say, is an expression of real love. Sometimes, of course, with those who are close to us, or others where there is a recognition, we need to be quite active, and that does mean bringing our fullness of attention to the other. And if she or he is having a difficult time or needs our attention, we certainly need to be able to tune in and listen very well. There are people in our life who really need, at this time in their life, some real quality of attention from us. And the act of giving attention to is the act of love. Full attention, or full mindfulness, or full presence is love at work there. And with the communication, I can see in myself, and perhaps you do as well, that there is the language. It might be true, the statements that we state to another or others might be true, but language, that's the words, cannot exist in isolation. They can't exist in isolation of intention, of a feeling or a position, and therefore they come with much else. And in the coming of much else, it's often the other, the tone of voice, the attitude, which has more impact upon us than the actual words. So therefore, in communication, it's not trying to prove a point. Communication is saying, look, the whole being is at work in the communication. Therefore, feelings, interest, tone of voice, attitude and intention matter as much. And in that, if we can communicate that across in our communication, it's much easier for others to listen to us. The easiest voice to listen to in this world is the voice with love in it. And the hardest voice for us to listen to is when it's with pressure and demand. It tends that when it builds, two people will argue. The listening actually has stopped. It's point scoring. It's entering into the area of success and failure, winning and losing an argument. And at that point, the deep things really have gone astray, have got forgotten. And since the only reason that we talk is that we wish the other person to listen, what? No use speaking unless there's listeners. And therefore, what we bring to the voice matters as much as what the voice is stating. And that's our practice. It's just as an important practice as sitting on the meditation cushion, being out in the nature, being artistic, and work and livelihood and play and study, what we bring to the voice. And therefore, is it true? Is it useful? What I notice in myself, that of course there are differences which take place in communication. If there is some investment and holding to the position, what I notice in myself is there is some visceral change. I can begin to feel in the body some pressure coming up. And when it reaches the level of the voice, there's three signals that tend to happen there. And there the amber or the red lights here. One of them is the voice, my voice in this case, gets faster. Uh-oh. It's getting faster. The second indicator is that it's getting a bit louder. The voice level is going up a notch or two. Uh-oh. Ego, self, trying to prove a point, or whatever. There. And the third, the absolute guarantee, is interrupting the other. That one's own views are so important, the others are not worth listening to. When one is interrupting. Sometimes, I find, and perhaps you do, in the communication, and it's, again, I always say, it's practice, the lifelong practice. Sometimes in the communication, some people do, sometimes in their family as well, go on and on and on and on. And one is looking for a seed to dig a grave to jump into. For a bit of peace and quiet. And if there are people in your life who do that, go on and on and on. Sometimes at that point one may have to interrupt and ask politely, is this a one-way conversation and do I need to be here? Since I can't contribute, I might as well go and just carry on talking. Something like, whatever. So, and the other, of course, with that, and this is where that sense of responsibility comes, of, this is how it's feeling for me. This is my experience in the listening, or whatever. And possibly, in the communication that takes place, two people can speak together, can have differences without argument and conflict. Two people can speak together with the differences without argument and conflict. It's a practice. It's a practice. And the Buddha once said, it sounds so conceited. Maybe it was when I read it. He said, I don't have conflict with the world, that means other people, but some have conflict with me. And it can be, I don't know, especially in the political arena, when one's in political circles. Some people are looking for an argument. They're looking for a verbal fight. They're trying to do that. Can we, when a lot of pressure is being put on, because somebody wants to pick a fight with us, can we stay with the calmness of being, the calm voice, which is responding skillfully and appropriately, without aggression, without interrupting? And if so, in those times, we are not in conflict with somebody. He or she may be in conflict with us. But those times when we're calm and clear and can listen and just work with it, we're not in conflict. It's not our conflict. And I say, it's a consistent practice because all of us are engaged in different communications. And then finally and quickly, with the last and also important one, It does take the mindfulness and carefulness as the freeing up movement, which is the heart of the Buddha's Dharma, with regard to this relationship to the future. And it does require, we need just enough mindfulness and concentration to see when it's appropriate and have, again back to the surgery thing, to let go, to cut, to drop, and to be firm and decisive about it. Because there's a certain kind of narcissistic entertainment in it, pleasurable or fearful. And it's draining us. And as the good lady said, when that is happening there, there's no potential for the action. And we forget that if there's lots of stories about that, to repeat, it is an indication one is not feeling good about oneself. Feeling, it's around sometimes the feeling of failure there. So then, intention, action and result have got to find an alignment. They have got to be found today. So that the bigger ones or the other ones will be found. Because the best of life is passing by. And it's terribly easy to live in this world of stories and fantasies and daydreams and plans and ideas. And it's passing by simply because it's feeding, not feeling good about oneself. And that can go away remarkably quickly when the actions of intention, action and result start to get very close together. And our authenticity begins to move. And that frees us up. The intention. Before midnight, do something which the good person has not done before. I.e. tell a story. The intention was there. The action that was there. The result was there. And in terms of representational terms, it was a story of liberation from being swallowed up. That's the best. Thank you, Little Red Riding Hood. And the Huntsman. All right, quiet minute, then a break.